Good morning, Carl. How's that sound? Test 1, 2, 3. Praise the Lord. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. Grace Commons guy. I don't have much of a bio on you, Warren, so it's a quick introduction. He's alive. Hallelujah. Come speak to us, Warren. Let's give Warren a warm welcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
making that transition, we have to think about things that are coming from a higher level. When God is coming to us, He's not coming to us from a lower level, He's coming to us from a higher level. On the other hand, we have the same kind of information which is being transmitted and is asking us to make transitions from the lower level. One of the meanings in of diabolos is, you have a pitcher, a baseball pitcher, and the guy throws a really good splitter. Got the seam. He throws a splitter fastball. Well, the splitter fastball looks like it's coming right for you, and it looks like you can hit it, but it changes. And the name for diabolos is splitter. Let's track this guy. We first learned that the enemy split heaven, didn't he? He was split himself because he couldn't figure out whether he was God or whether God was God. So he had a split. He had a split in himself. He couldn't overcome it, as most angels can't. But he was able to split a third of heaven's angels off from the service of God into the service of himself. So he began to do that, and God said, finally, you know, I've had it. I've had enough. You are out of here. He kicked him out of heaven. And so we have the enemy, the splitter, who was sent to earth. We find in Genesis chapter 3, the splitter does what? He splits us from God. He splits Adam and Eve from the service of God to the service of self and the influence of himself. Transmission of that was through the natural. Most of the time, God, when he's using the natural, when the Lord is using the natural, he will make it something that is so astounding that you remember it. The burning bush, for instance. An angel coming to meet Jacob when he's at Bethel. These are all things that happen through Scripture. We get the transmission, and we have a time for transition. A time for transition, there are things that happen. The Bible says in James that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. And it's for us. Heaven is sending good gifts and perfect gifts to us all the time. And the enemy doesn't like that. So his transmission on the other side, and his transition for us on the other side, you don't pay any attention to it. Or if you do pay attention to it, argue with it. Or if you can't argue with it and you no longer stay away from it, then you can just reject it altogether. Because you know that's not true. He says it about things. He says it about ourselves. He says it about our ways. Transformation occurs when we say we agree with him. When we agree with God, he transforms us. The Spirit of God comes and transforms us away from the lies of the enemy and the things that the enemy wants us to do into being sons and daughters of him, so that we are in the ambassadorship of Christ and that we have the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Samuel 11 is a good place to take a look at a person who is remaining in the, let me preface this a little differently. What we call our nature from the influence of the enemy is the old nature. What we call our nature from the influence of the Spirit of God is the new nature. We are new creatures. We become new. Things that happen to us are different. We look at things through a different lens. We look at a new man lens, or we look at things through the old man lens. When the old man was crucified to Christ on the cross, he died, and he's gone. But his influence didn't leave. The influence of the enemy keeps coming at us. This happened to David. He sees the woman, and the influence of the old man says to David, this woman is really pretty. He finds out about it. She is the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Are Hittites a part of the family of the Hebrews? Of the Jews? No, they're not. There are all kinds of things going off here now. You've got information coming from God. Don't intermarry. Don't get involved with women who are not of Jewish descendants. Uriah's wife is not. Now, I've got a little aside here. When Iran takes a look at this, my wife, and she says, okay, we've got a woman who is purifying herself from her cycle. She decides to do this on the roof of her house, and she decides to see it in clear shot of where David is on his patio, on his upper patio. She decides to do it there. Iran says she was enticing him. It doesn't say that in Scripture. I make sure that you understand this. I didn't say this. Richard didn't say this. Iran said that. But, nonetheless, he could see her, and the old man information starts to flow. And every one of us knows what the old man information is. That's a pretty woman. Yeah. The transmission of that information, in this case, was through Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. Transition was, okay, splitter. I could go this way, or I could go this way. If I go this way, I go back inside, David, son David. I go back inside, and I forget about Bathsheba as good as I can. Although the image probably remains there for a while. But I forget about her. Split her. Or I could take the old man way and figure out who she is and what more I can explore about this. How can I get in this thing deeper than I already am? You know, how many ways can I sin? Transformation doesn't happen because it's already there within us. We have already been transformed from the time in the garden to from people who were serving God in the presence of God in his companionship and with him in us. We made the split. Genesis chapter 3. The transition already happened. Transformation happened because we didn't repent. So then we become the servants of the enemy. He split us. David gets a chance to be split. He could go one way or he could go the other. And he knows what's right. And he knows the law. And he's the king. And he is the servant of the king, the servant of God for the Jewish people. Not only is he the servant for them, he is the intercessor for them because of being the king. He's not a priest, but he is their intercessor. When he does this thing, things start to come back to him that were haunting him before. I'm going to transition just a little bit here. When a guy like David has been at war for years, been running from King Saul, been going from here to there, trying to hide, trying to keep Saul from killing him. When he's doing this, he runs into a lot of people who don't like him, and he kills them. He kills them, and his band of 600 men kill people. Book of Proverbs, chapter 27, says that if a man murders another man, he forever becomes a fugitive. So there is a set. And I put it this way. The information transmission, transition, and the transformation of something happens inside a guy when he kills somebody else. He becomes a fugitive. So keep that in mind. Here's the fugitive behavior of David is set in there because of the behavior that he had in murdering people. And God said, you can't build a temple because you had too much blood on your hands. But this is where he is at. So he's already primed to do something wrong. Because PTSD sometimes does not allow you, it gets in the way of the new man. It leaves you in a place of an incomplete spiritual transaction. Because grief will work for you to get that spiritual transaction working in you so that you can get past that and begin to behave like the new man. Otherwise, if you have that, your behavior kind of changes. Sometimes in PTSD post-traumatic stress, anger will come up, and you don't know where it came from. Other emotions will come up. You don't know where they came from, but they affect other people. They affect you, and they affect other people. They affect your idea of yourself. They affect you in these ways. And you don't get over that without some work in grief. However, David doesn't go there. He goes the other way. He gets Bathsheba. She gets pregnant. And you know the rest of the story. He calls Uriah. He calls some of the leaders of the army that were out fighting in the springtime when things go to war, that are out fighting. And he brings them back for a respite, and he brings Uriah back. And he wants Uriah to sleep with Bathsheba so that he can cover up what's happened with he and Bathsheba. Uriah won't do it. Uriah won't go in and sleep with her. He stays out on the porch. And another aside from Yvonne, she doesn't think they have a very good relationship to begin with. Okay. And going on that track, if she's out there flashing, and she doesn't want, and Uriah doesn't want to come in from the war and be with her, she thinks there's some things going on there. I don't think there's things going on. Yvonne thinks there's things going on there. Okay. So we have today, we live in two different camps. We live in the camp of the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel, where the old man lives. Or we can take a turn and we can go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 invites God. It would have been a place where David could have gone at the time that he was enticed by Bathsheba. he could have gone here. But it was later that the transition happened and the transformation happened away from the old man into the new man for David. Into the new man, he recognizes how vast God is. In Psalm 139, he's talking about God searching him, his innermost thoughts, his innermost desires. He's talking about how he's so wonderfully made, knit together in the womb of his mother. Made by God, empowered by God, and blessed by God. And all of those things are not natural, those are supernatural. It's because God puts them in us when he makes the transition away from the natural into the supernatural. What God means by saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are new creatures is that he has made us creatures who can accept God. Not only accept God, but be transformed into the likeness of God once again, as it was in the beginning when Adam and Eve had fellowship in the garden with him. The old man characteristics are hiding, being controlling, fragmented. Now, all of the transition hasn't taken place in 139 yet. David is praising God and he's recognizing the presence of God in himself. However, about two-thirds of the way through the psalm, he remembers he has enemies. And he wants God to ravage his enemies. A beautiful psalm, and then all of a sudden, bingo. He comes back to, oh, by the way, God, now that I'm thinking about you being so good and the way that you are and the way you love everybody and you love me, kill my enemies, break out their teeth. And then he transitions back and thinks, okay, all right, so I vented. And goes back to finish the psalm that he blesses God, he worships God again, he praises God. Just an idea, but has that happened with you? Has it happened that you feel the presence of God? That you feel his heart coming together with your heart? That you are you are in with him? He is in you and you're in him? And you have this blessed relationship, and then all of a sudden, you don't. It happened to me. I wonder if it's happened with you guys. Probably has. Because that's part of the transition and part of the transformation process. To make us into servants of the King as ambassadors for him and as men who are interceding for the world as we have this ministry of reconciliation, we go through these ups and downs. I call it the line of privilege. Enemy keeps you under the line of privilege because he wants to control everything you do. And if you don't have Christ, he does. The Bible says that he plays with you. He plays with you. But having Jesus, having the Spirit of God in us, gives us an opportunity not to be toyed with, but to resist him. Has there been a time in your life when you had the splitter going up after you? Going to be split? Is there a time when you've been reading and you might have read James chapter 5 and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you? And that comes back to your mind. And you know it's the splitter that's after you. You know he wants you to do something that is ungodly. And you get this thing that comes up in the back of your mind. Oh, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You get that, right? That comes to your mind. And you can follow that and say, okay, in the transformation process, this is happening to me right now, but I'm going to resist it. Or on the other hand, you can hear it and say, I don't think I want to resist this right now. It would be too embarrassing. Or it would be this way or it would be that way. And then you get into the cycle of repentance, transformation, again and again. But you know, the Spirit of God is not condemning you. When He is with you, when He is in you, when the Spirit of Christ is with you, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Why does He do it that way? Because if you felt condemned, you'd never get away from sin, would you? You would let shame rule your life. You would let it be your prince. But it isn't. And if you do, it's because the liar has flipped you. He's taken away from you the thing God told you. He's taken away from you the heavenly purpose for just a moment, maybe, but enough so that He can get you not to resist. David could have done that. He had the gear to do it, and he'd done it before. He had gone before the Lord, and he could have killed Saul when Saul was relieving himself in a cave one time, but he decided not to. Why did he do that? Because he was resisting murder of the king, of the anointed one of God. He resisted that. He resisted the enemy. We can do that same thing. And I know you all have. I know there have been very crying things where you were tempted to do this or to do that, and you knew that's not what I want to do. Paul knew it. We know it. This isn't what I want to do, but I find myself doing it. Why? Because the strength of the transformation has not completed itself yet in you. But it doesn't mean that God's going to stop trying. It means He's going to keep going, and He's going to bring you back to Psalm 139 and say, you know, kiddo, I made you, and I made you the way I wanted you, and I made you to be a guy who would defeat the enemy, and I made you to be a guy who would praise me and would live in me. And because I did that, I'm going to completely transform you, and I'm never done. And I'm going after you every time I can go after you to change from what the enemy wants you to be to what I want you to be and what I will make you into. So, conclusion. Resist the splitter. Don't swing. You very rarely will hit a splitter. It's the most difficult pitch to hit. When he starts pitching it at you, don't swing. Conclusion, don't swing, brother.
Love it. Thank you, Ryan. Praise God.